some New Year's resolutions? Anyone? As we get older, we tend to make less. And possibly reality sets in and we've seen our track record. And we say, well, we haven't done so great in the past. Maybe it's not even worth it. Even though we're in the middle of winter, and for Dunkirk, this doesn't quite feel like winter yet, we still can find hope as we look towards a new year. And I would challenge you to think about this past year and think about the new year. Even if you don't make a resolution, this morning I'd like to invite you to have your own New Year's checkup. In the bulletin, there's a note sheet, and there are some things in there that are going to help as you follow along. I checked the internet to see what some popular resolutions were this year, and I found two interesting people that were quoted. One of them was Dr. Lori Santos. She's a Yale University professor. She's the host of the Happiness Lab. And she said, the one New Year's resolution I would recommend to take is experiencing gratitude, that feeling of appreciating all the blessings in your life. According to Santos, gratitude is a fundamental resolution. Gratitude boosts happiness and increases self-control, which then helps you achieve many of your other goals as well. Who would have thought that gratitude would be so important? Dr. Deepak Chopra, the author of many self-help books, suggested starting each day with this list of four key questions. Who am I? What do I want? What's my purpose? And what am I grateful for? I'm not sharing these things with you to suggest that you go looking to the internet for your life's answers, but because the real answers that are found in God's Word often show up in the world's wisdom. And that really shouldn't surprise us. When someone finds a breakthrough like gratitude is important, we should say, oh yeah, God talks about gratitude all the time. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3 answers all four of these questions. The question, who am I, is answered in Colossians 4, it's Colossians 3. Verse 12, he said, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Who are you as a believer? You're a chosen one. You are holy and you are loved by God. If you started each day reminding yourself of that, your life and the things that come along are going to be in a whole different perspective. What do I want? Paul says in verses 1 and 2, if you've been raised with Christ, then seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. What do I want? As a believer, we should want heavenly or eternal treasures rather than stockpiling things here on the earth. And what's my purpose? In verses 14 and 17, Paul says, above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What's my purpose? To love others and to do everything to glorify your Savior, to do things in the name of Jesus. And then what am I grateful for? Here Paul tells us to be thankful and give thanks to God through Jesus Christ. We should be thankful for all the things God has given us, and he reminds us that that's an important part of our lives. Having a grateful and a thankful heart is so important for how we view everything else in life. When we recognize that it's God who's in control, that it's God who chose us, and God who loves us, when we're in the right relationship with him, then we can see that he truly is in control, and it should change our outlook on everything. Thankfulness, gratefulness is the thing that just stuck out to me. And these are two very non-Christian world, well, they're not world leaders, but they are leaders in the area of how do I feel better? How do I face tomorrow? And they're finding the answer is gratitude, being thankful for what you have. As a believer, we should recognize that all good gifts come from the Father above, and we recognize the importance of God in our lives. So how thankful are you? On your note sheet, there's a little scale there from 1 to 5, 5 being very thankful and 1 being unthankful. I hope you're towards the higher end of that scale, but it's something to think about in this coming year. If you were to make only one resolution, if you resolved to be more thankful, it's going to make you appreciate not only what God's doing in your life, but it's going to help you appreciate the people that God has placed into your life. Resolutions are often about fixing problem areas in our lives, about setting goals or achieving something positive. These can be good, but even better is an honest look at what's really going on inside our hearts. Our hearts are the real center of our hopes, our dreams, and our desires. Just like regular checkups at the doctor help track your growth and they look for possible problems, a spiritual checkup can help us keep on track or get us back on track to where we need to change or we need to keep doing something well. Let's see what God's Word has to say about spiritual checkups. Is this even something that is talked about in Scripture? Well, the answer is yes. Here are 5 places where God talks about spiritual checkups. Lamentations 3, verses 40 and 41. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. In Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. It's part of that great passage that Adam read for us. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In the book of 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? And then finally in the book of James, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Here James is reminding us that God's word is the place that we measure ourselves against, and that when we look at it and we see things that need to change, we can't just walk away and forget them. We have to pause and say, here's something that I need to apply in my life. God, help me change. Holy Spirit, control me, control my thoughts and my actions. Help me be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. These verses tell us to examine ourselves, to test our faith, to invite God to search our hearts and point out what needs to change. They encourage us to clean up and renew our hearts. And finally, as I just said in James, to apply Scripture to make the changes needed. Physical exams are something we don't often look forward to. The doctor's office will call and say, it's time for your physical. And they may call 2 or 3 times and then stop calling if you don't respond and make an appointment. What are some things that they want to check when you go in for a physical? Your heart, your lungs, your blood pressure, check your ears. What else? They look at your tongue. Stick out your tongue and say, ah. Tongue shows all kinds of interesting things. What else? I did hear that right. Equilibrium, your derriere. That's very nice for church. If we were in France, they would say it in English, so it sounded nice, right? What else? Your weight. If you're younger, they're checking your height and seeing if you're growing at an appropriate rate. What else do they check? Reflexes, yeah. They may check your flexibility, your strength, having you push against their arm, seeing what kind of resistance you have. And then as they look at it, they remind you of your age. And as I get older, they say things like, you're doing okay for your age. It used to just be you're healthy, but now it's for your age. Well, your eyesight, you should have expected this. You're this old now. The last time I went for an eye exam a few years back, he said, well, you're 50 now, so yes, this is when we start adding more lenses to your glasses. That's normal. And then, of course, your hearing tests. Those are things that we don't notice. My kids found a fun app that plays frequencies that I can't hear anymore. It's fun because they hear it, and we're sitting there, nope. And if you look for that app, it's kind of sad, but as you get older, you start losing these frequencies. The good part is those annoying hums start disappearing. So that's why we have some young people on our sound tech booth in the back, because they still hear things that we don't, and they can clean them up for other people. It's important that they're checking what's right for your age. At this point in your life, are you still growing at the right rate? Have you stopped growing around the middle? Are you still active? They're asking a lot of questions that depend on how old you are. So as a believer, when we look into God's Word, it's important that we think about our spiritual age. The Apostle Paul talks about newborn babes in the faith, and then he chides and corrects some of the believers and saying, by this point, you should be off the milk and formula. You should be eating the meat, the deeper things of God. So it's important as we look at our spiritual checkup, we think about, how long have I walked with the Lord? Am I still making progress? Am I moving closer to Jesus Christ? Or have I just stopped at a comfortable place? I can answer the questions in Sunday school, but that's as far as I'm going to go. That should never be the case. The Lord Jesus Christ calls us to follow Him. That's active. To be a disciple means to walk with and to follow after someone. If we're doing that with Jesus Christ, we can't sit down and say, we're done. That's God's purpose. That's God's plan for you, to be like His Son, Jesus Christ. He's the model of a human who lived in a perfect relationship with God. Jesus fully obeyed His Father, and He said over and over again, I didn't come to do my own will. This isn't about me. It's about the will of my Father. And I'm going to accomplish His will for my life. What's God's will for your life? It's the same for every one of us, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I have a couple of verses here just to remind us of those things. Romans 8:28-29. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. That firstborn is talking about being the new Adam. Jesus is the perfect human because He was fully God and fully human. And God's will for you, His goal for your life, is to be conformed, to fit the image of Jesus Christ. That passage in Romans is one that we use to encourage people in lots of different life situations. All things work together for good for those who love God. But the good is to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's where the trials in our lives are good. not because the difficulty is good, facing unemployment, facing the loss of a loved one, facing emotional difficulties. Those things in and of themselves are painful. But God uses them for those who love Him to cause us to follow after Jesus Christ, to cause us to say, God, I need you more than ever. I can't do this on my own. To recognize how important He is in our lives. And as we do that, we say, God, I want your will, not my own. That's when we become more and more like Jesus. Colossians 1, 28 to 29. Him we proclaim, Jesus Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. The Apostle Paul said, my ministry is about making you, Colossians, spiritually mature. That's part of my ministry as a pastor, as a shepherd, is to present you as mature in Jesus Christ. That's where we're headed, all of us. And that maturity is not based on your physical age. It's based on the length of time that you've been following Jesus Christ. Are you maturing? Are you growing in your faith? Is it stronger than it was 2 years ago? Are you trusting God more, or are you trusting yourself and maybe your bank account more? Where is your strength? Where is your courage? In the Gospel of John, Jesus was talking to His disciples, and He makes it very clear, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then later in the chapter, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. A spiritual goal in our lives is to obey God's word. Jesus was the example of that. Jesus was the Word of God, and yet He said, I'm here to do the will of the Father. I'm here to obey all that God has said. And if you love me, you'll obey my words. And the world will know that you're my follower because you're following my word. That's probably the world's biggest criticism of those who call themselves Christians, being hypocrites. Saying, we're followers of Jesus Christ, but then not following His instructions, not following His words. Could you call yourself a good CPA if you said, you know that tax code? It's not really the most important thing. I've figured out a better way. That's not someone you want doing your taxes, right? You want them to follow the code. Or to have a navigator who says, I'm just going to wing it. I think I know where Europe is. Let's just go. Let's ignore the directions. Let's ignore the GPS. Let's ignore all of those things that are pointing us where we should go. I'm just going to go with my gut. That is not a ship I would want to get into, or a plane. As a believer, if we're ignoring not only God's law for our lives, but His direction and His encouragement to us, then we're not really following Him. Be a true disciple. Follow and obey God's word. And then finally, over in the book of Galatians, in chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Living a life controlled by the Holy Spirit with clear outward evidences. Those fruits are the things that other people see in our lives. And if they're not seeing them, then what's going on under the surface, what's feeding us, is not God's word. It's not the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us because our fruit shows something otherwise. So those are the goals. Those are the things we're looking for. And in your note sheet, I have some things there that are external checkups and internal checkups. Let's start with the external, the things that are kind of obvious and visible on the outside. This is a good place to start. Are you reading God's Word daily? Are you in His Word? People say they're waiting for God to tell them something. This is how He speaks. We're living in the age where God is not speaking through His prophets. We're living in the age where we have His complete Word, and He speaks to us through His Word. If you're in God's Word regularly, and you're reading it, you're feeding on it, He will lead and guide you with whatever's going on in your life. Those things will be evident. Are you praying often? Part of a relationship is two-way communication. God speaking to us through His Word. Are you speaking back to Him? Are you telling Him you're thankful for what He's given you? Are you telling Him about the struggles that you're going through? Are you asking Him for help? Are you praying for one another? That's what we do a lot of on Wednesday nights, intercessory prayer. And that's so important as a family. It's so encouraging for us to hear from you saying you're praying for our family. And I know those of you that have family members or you yourself need prayer. The encouragement of knowing that the church family is praying for you. We need to be doing that regularly. When was the last time you shared the good news? I'm not talking about a total stranger on a street corner, although that's a way to share the good news, but does your faith come up in your conversation when you're talking about where you were this weekend, what you did, what your family's doing, or even when a coworker, a friend, or a family member shares something heavy on their hearts? Do you have encouragement from God's Word? The gospel is not just that Jesus Christ died on the cross and saves people. The gospel is that Jesus changes lives. So as we have opportunities to talk to people, are you sharing that good news? Are you having conversations with people about the hope that is within you? Are you memorizing scripture? This is a hard one for me because when I was a kid, I got a star. Right? We got those little stars, we got stickers on our Sunday school paper, and then if we were in Awana or some other program, there was a prize, and you wanted to get those prizes. And then we grow up, and nobody says, good job, you learned another verse. Scripture tells us to hide God's Word in our hearts, that we might not sin against Him. When we have God's Word in us, the Holy Spirit brings that to our recall. He reminds us that this is what we should be doing. And when we're discouraged, God's Word reminds us of His promises. We need to be doing better at this. I need to be doing better at memorizing God's Word. Maybe we do need to put up a sticker chart and we can all get stickers. Pick a psalm. Pick a part of one of the Gospels. Pick part of Paul's letters and say, I'm going to memorize this little by little. And even if no one is giving you a sticker, you can share it with a friend and say, would you memorize this with me? Let's try and learn this passage. Hide God's Word in your heart. Are you serving and supporting the local church? That's us. Are you involved here at church in some way? Everybody does different things, and that's the beauty of the body of Christ. We're not all supposed to be doing the same thing, but are you doing something to support our church, to be involved in serving? Are you influencing others? Is there someone else in your life that you recognize that you can have a positive influence on? Whether it's a family member, a friend, a coworker? Is there someone that you're asking, how are they doing in their spiritual walk? And encouraging them. Are you doing anything to encourage global missions? We have a missions committee here at the church that gets to know our missionaries better. And this year, just as last year, we're going to highlight one missionary each month. It's so easy to just send them a quick email. You don't even have to figure out what the postage is to Bangladesh. You can just send an email. In our prayer sheet every month, we have the details of how to contact the missionary of the month. And in our directory, we also have a list of the missionaries' actual mailing addresses. If you want to mail something, they would be probably astounded at that. But even just sending an email, imagine getting 75 or 100 emails saying, "We're praying for you this month." Wouldn't that be encouraging to you? Don't you love that on your birthday when you get all those Facebook notes and think about all the people that are wishing you a happy birthday? We can do that with our missionaries by simply sending a note. Pray for them. Encourage them. Is fruit visible in your life? We just talked about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness, gentleness. Do other people see these things in your life? Do you see them in your life? Are you leading and encouraging your family? Are you the reason that they're here in church this morning? Are you the person saying, "Let's get up, let's get ready"? On Saturday night, are you saying, "What do we need to get ready for tomorrow so that it goes smoothly?" I loved seeing how many people were here throughout the month of December. You were inviting family, you were inviting friends, inviting neighbors, and Christmas is a great time to do that. We need to keep doing that. Are you leading and encouraging other people to come along to the Lord? Those are the externals. And a lot of times we call those spiritual disciplines. They're activities that help us grow spiritually. They're visible to others. And sometimes that's where we focus most of our time and effort, on the things that other people would see. I want to make sure that everybody knows I'm at church. I want to make sure I'm doing this. I want to make sure I'm doing that. And that's sometimes where we get stuck, just on the outside things. They're all good things to do. We need to read our Bibles. We need to pray. We need to be here together. We need to be giving and serving. But don't stop there. The next set of questions focuses on our hearts. These are things that others may not see, but we know what's going on. The outcome of what changes in our heart is going to affect all of those externals. That's where the fruit comes from, by feeding the roots, by God's Word changing our lives, by the Holy Spirit controlling us. Does your speech reflect godliness? The words that come out of your mouth, are they godly? Are they encouraging others? Are they building them up? Are they correcting in love? Is there someone you need to forgive? Paul said, just as Christ has forgiven you, forgive others. Is there someone that in 2020 needs to know that because of your relationship with God, you can forgive them? Are there idols in your heart? We think of idols sometimes just in Old Testament terms, those wooden or golden plated statues. But is there something in your heart, in your life, that has become more important than God? If I asked you that question, you would probably quickly say, no, of course God is most important. But listen to this definition. If I will sin to get this thing, if I will sin to keep or protect it, if this thing is possibly going to be lost, will I step outside of what God wants me to do? Will I be unloving? Will I be unkind? Will I ignore my responsibilities to my family? Will I do things that God says, these are not for my followers? Will I sin to keep or protect it? It's an idol. It could be your quiet time. I just need half an hour with nobody bothering me. Is that a good thing? Yes. Jesus took time to meditate and to get alone with the Father. He took time to restore and to recharge his batteries. But if someone interrupts that, what happens? We turn into Attila the Hun. We turn into a monster and we're snapping at people. We're yelling, "Can't I just have a few minutes?" I've heard those words come out of my mouth. That peace, that quiet has been elevated to more important than honoring God in the way I treat my family or other people? Is my time an idol? It's obvious when we talk about our material things like a car or a boat, or I'm not going to list hunting equipment or ATVs or all of those fun toys, but when those things get scratched or dented, is that thing all of a sudden more important than your relationship with your spouse or your kids? Are those things your pride and joy? You have pictures of them on your refrigerator instead of family members? It's okay to put pictures on your fridge, but where are they in importance in your life? Those are the ones that we would say, well, obviously, that's become an idol to me. But what about time at church? I need to be here all the time, and you miss important family events because of that. You think that if I'm not doing this at this time, then nobody else can do it like I do it. I have to be there. Even good things can become elevated above honoring God and honoring the way He wants to live our lives. Are there idols in your heart? Two summers ago, we talked about loving our neighbors. Are you loving your actual neighbors? Is there love in your heart for them, care and concern for them, so that you go out of your way to check on them? I did check up on Steve, by the way. I told you I was going to do that because I told you, and I did get to visit with him a little bit over the holiday. He needs our prayers. Where do you look for answers? I started out the opening by sharing a couple of things from the internet just because they were about gratitude. But is that where you look for answers to your problems? How do I handle this problem with my teenager? What do I do about someone at work? How do I handle this problem in my marriage, in my relationship? Or are you looking to God's Word, to His wisdom? God's Word is sufficient for everything as it applies to living a godly life. It doesn't tell us how to do heart surgery or how to change a tire, but everything else is there in God's Word. How to live to please Him. That's where we should be looking for our answers. Do your relationships, whether you're married or you have close family relationships, do they reflect Christ's unconditional love? That's the love that He calls us to be willing to lay down anything. I think laying down my life would be easier than laying down the things that I just want. Would I step in front of a bullet for my family members? Yes. Would I give up my 3 hours of football? That's a little harder, right? I'm picking on myself. I think most men would feel that way, and certainly all the mama bears out there would say, I would do anything for my loved ones. But would we give up the things that are just our comfort areas? I need this. I deserve this. I want this. Those are all good things that God has given us, but they have to be in the right priorities. I have to be serving God and serving my family above serving myself and my own needs. Are you actively fighting sin in your life? As we do these checkups, as you put a little check mark, whether you're saying, check, I need to work on this, or check, this is going okay, are you picking some areas and saying, God, help me to work on this? Because our spiritual walk is progressive. The moment that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you did not become perfectly Christ-like here on the earth. God sees you sanctified. He sees Christ's robes covering over all your sin. They've all been washed away, and God sees you as ready for heaven. But there's still things in my speech, things in my mind, things in my actions, things in my heart that need to be changed. And that's supposed to be the walk, moving towards Christ-likeness. There should always be something, no matter how old you are, that God is saying, here's something that you can work on. Here's something else that is going to help you. The external things maybe started becoming obvious, and maybe those are the things that you're really in good shape on. But now, start looking inward. Are my thoughts, are my actions, my words pleasing to the Lord? I wanted to share these things with you this morning, not to discourage you, not to make you feel worthless for not measuring up. 2 Timothy says, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. That's the spirit that he gives us. And in John 15 and 16, Jesus spoke a lot about the helper that was coming. Again, he was encouraging his followers and saying, I'm leaving you, but I'm sending you a helper. The Holy Spirit will be here to guide you, to help you change. He's going to guide you in the truth. And in 2 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul said, we do not lose heart. Where the Lord is, now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. That's the step-by-step progressive change that's happening from one degree to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart this morning, brothers and sisters. God wants these changes to keep occurring in your life. He wants us to keep encouraging one another. And as we do these external and internal checkups, pray to the Father and say, where do I need to change? Search me, O God, and know me. He already does, but now reveal to me what needs to change. Talking to close family members, talking to your best friend, maybe another part of that. What do I need to change? What do you see that could change in my life to improve my relationship with the Lord, to improve our relationship, to improve our walk together? We need to not just change those outward things, but change what's going on in our hearts. The Christian walk is not a list of do's and don'ts. We should be so in awe of God, who He is, what He's done for us. Again, that heart of thankfulness, of gratitude. Jesus died on the cross for me, paying for my sins. What am I not willing to give up for Him? It should be all. Are we overwhelmed by His love? We sang about His mercy and His grace this morning. Are those truths so filled in your life that you just want to follow Him, that you're ready to step out in faith? That's what real worship is, getting to really know and love Him. And God calls us to do this in community. This month we're restarting our growth groups. They're in different homes of different people, and it's a place where you can encourage someone else. You can pray with others. You can share some of these things that you're working on in a group that will say, we want to encourage you. We're not judging you because you have areas to grow in. We're not looking down at you and saying, how could you think that? We're saying, how can we help you? Let's encourage one another in this coming year. If you haven't connected with a growth group, do that. Make that one of your resolutions for the year. After communion, we sang the power of the cross. By carrying our sins on Himself, Jesus Christ defeated death. He overcame the grave, and His selfless love for us gives us the capacity to forgive and to love others, to endure trials, to grow, to experience joy even in sadness, to find purpose and beauty all around us in the world that He created. Jesus provided forgiveness and peace with God His Father through the cross. That sacrifice is the reason that we should want to change. Because He gave His all for us. What could I give but my all for Him? The power of the cross is the real power for us to change. We can make resolutions and we can try to keep them. But if we want to change spiritually, it's the power of Jesus Christ overcoming our sin. We're no longer bound to sin. He gives us the power to change. If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, we just celebrated the gifts of Christmas, and the greatest gift was the Son of God. If you've never trusted Him, I would love to talk to you after the service. Mark is going to come and we're going to sing a closing song. Please bow with me and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for a new year. Scripture tells us that the reason You haven't returned yet is because You are wanting to see more people trust Your Son as Savior, and we get to be a part of that mission. You've given us a mission to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, to teach and disciple and encourage people to be followers of Jesus Christ. So we start this new year, 2020, with a desire to do that. But Lord, we want to do that here at home. We want to encourage and grow together as a church family, and we want to encourage others as they come to join us to know You, to be Your disciples. Lord, help us as we look at the past year, as we look forward to a new year, to think about the things that need to change in our lives and in our hearts, because we love You and we want to serve You. Now, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to You, Father, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, Your Son, through Your Holy Spirit living in us through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.